Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson. What Became of Dr. Smith by artist Noah Satterstrom is on view beginning April 20th. Learn more at msmuseumart.org.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Malcolm White. I'm your host this Sunday afternoon here at MPB Think Radio. In the studio with Kevin Farrell, who has on very conservative black shoes today. Oftentimes he will come in here with a flag. He does have on some pretty exciting socks, though. So sort of an orange pattern, a little orange and black. But anyway, Kevin's our producer and our spiritual leader. He often advises us on how radio works. But my special guest today is my good buddy, William Goodman. William, welcome.
Thank you, Malcolm. Thanks for having me today. Absolutely. Hey, Kevin, how are you doing today, man?
He never talks. He just points and writes notes and moves his knobs around. So, William, you are a visual artist. I think you described yourself as a mixed media artist.
That's correct, yes.
And just for our listeners' sake, why don't you take a stab at explaining what a mixed media artist does and what one might see when they look at your art?
I will do my best. Well, I began dabbling with what I like to call mixed media about 20 years ago, and I would like to describe mixed media as a combination of a lot of different mediums, that being collage, that being transferring, that being silt screening, that being bringing my photography into my work, bringing a lot of different elements together onto the surface of a painting. Everything for me kind of begins with a photograph, whether that me being traveling around, taking pictures, finding clippings from magazines. Everything starts with an image, and then I start kind of building things from that image. Working with all acrylic paint. I don't have the patience for oil paint to dry, so that's considered, you know, building layers. Everything starts with that image, and then I kind of start building everything on top of it. And I like to kind of tell stories with my paintings. And so the ability to use all these different mediums to get different images onto the canvas, that's kind of always what's really inspired me. So mixed media is just using lots of different techniques that I've picked up from other artists over the years, and just kind of building layers onto the surface. So
you do commission work, you do portraits, you do outdoor murals. For our listeners, at the Grammy Museum in Cleveland, you have a series of musicians that is featured prominently when you walk in the Grammy Museum.
Right.
You want to explain a little bit about that series or that piece?
Yeah.
Those
pieces came about a couple of years ago. I mean, I tend to work in series. I mean, I've always kind of done that with my work. Every few years, I get inspired by something. My musician series that I did a couple of years ago, I was, you know, listening to a lot of pop music. So I started doing these paintings of pop musicians, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, of course, Michael Jackson. So I did these very large paintings, and the Grammy Museum seemed like a really good place to display those pieces. So they're there right now on a permanent display. But I've always, you know, my work has evolved over the years. So I'm always doing these, I mean, you know, 15, you know, plus years ago, I was kind of doing these very obscure type paintings, but now my work seems to be more focused and more close to home. The work I'm doing now, I'm super inspired by our state and the artists that have come out of our state. So most recently, I've done some pieces that are all about you know, the artists that have come out of Mississippi, whether that being writers or musicians. And we just have so much talent that's come out of Mississippi. I'm really inspired to paint the people that have come out of our state. So that's kind of what I've been doing the past year or so, painting people that have come out of our great state.
There's also a couple of public murals that I see often in Jackson. Yeah. One's at Steve's restaurant downtown. Yeah. There's a cool piece in there. And then there's another one at the Mississippi Museum of Art in the sort of alleyway that leads from the art garden over to the Westin in that part of town.
Right. That piece came about, I did that piece, I think, in 2011. And the Mississippi Museum of Art, they've always been a big supporter of mine, and I love places like a second home to me. They approached me about doing a mural that would be on that that second building that's right across from the museum, and it's
behind Thalia Morrow, on that back wall,
And they said we want you to do a mural on this wall. The idea was that they were going to get a different artist every year to paint on this wall, and so I went into that project, and I didn't really have an idea going into it. I kind of made it up as I went along, which is kind of how a lot of my work evolves. I mean, I have different images that I want to use, but really the end result happens kind of spontaneously, and the images kind of build as they go, and the story evolves as it goes along. So with that project, I had all these images that I wanted to use, and I just kind of, I call it the subconscious viewmaster, because at the time I was collecting all these viewmasters and all these old reels, and I remember looking through those and just being so inspired by them. And so that one, I worked on it for a month, and when I finished it, Betsy, she was like, "We can't paint over this." She was like, "This has to stay." And so that made me feel really, really good. And so it still stands today. And I think that's one of my more iconic pieces that I've ever done. And I still go back to it today. And I take my daughter there to see it. And I painted my wife. At the time, we had only been together for like 6 months or so when I was painting it. She'd come down there at nighttime and bring me Red Bulls, and she's like, keep going. And so I painted my wife, Nell, in the mural, and it's really cool today to take my daughter there, and who she's 3 and a half now, and she'll point up at the mural and she'd be like, "That's mommy," you know. So it's, but that piece, I included so many things. I tried to include all kinds of things in that piece for everybody. I mean, I've got, you know, vintage toys in there. I've even got a deer head in there, you know, for your rednecks. You know, they can look up there and they can, you know, have something to be inspired by. And I mean, it's just, it's got a little bit of everything in there, that piece.
So. And at the end of that walkway leading from the art garden and the entranceway to the Mississippi Museum of Art, past your mural, headed toward the Westin, you've done several pieces for the Westin Hotel itself. And talk a little bit about that. Those are really fabulous pieces that are in there.
Thank you, Malcolm. Yeah, those I've done a couple of pieces for the Westin. Probably the biggest single canvas that I've ever done to date, and it was a trick getting that thing up in my studio, which is located in Fondren. I've been in the Fondren neighborhood for 20 plus years now, where my studio is. But getting that piece, it was 6 feet by 9 feet, biggest single canvas I've ever done. I had to come up the side of the building with rope. I've got this great carpenter who builds all my custom frames for me, and he was like, "Yeah, we can get it up to your studio, but we're gonna have to bring it up by rope." And I was like, "All right, man, whatever we got to do." And so my client, he was insistent on us doing this piece that size. And I mean, a lot of times I work in panels, and we piece it together when we install it. But he wanted this piece 6 feet by 9 feet. And I was like, "All right, I can do it in my studio." But so we brought it up the side of the building with rope, and I worked on it for like 3 or 4 months, and it was all hand painted. And so the concept was, we're going to do B.B. King's guitar, Lucille, and that's going to be in the middle of the painting. And then around that, we're going to cover, you know, because we're the birthplace of rock and roll, country and blues. And so we're going to include, I mean, we couldn't include everybody, but we're going to try to include all the country legends. We're going to include all the blues legends, and then all the rock and roll legends that come out of our state. And so we just about covered everybody, and I hand painted everybody on the piece around BB's Lucille. And then so everybody that comes to Jackson and plays and stays at the Westin, we're trying to get people's signatures on the actual painting. And so far we've gotten Cyndi Lauper, we've gotten Buddy Guy, we've gotten Dave Matthews, we've gotten David Banner, all of these people to sign the actual painting. which is a pretty cool concept. And so it's going to just evolve over time. And so that was my idea to, you know, make it like a evolving piece of art to get people to keep signing it. So I did that piece, and then we've had some pretty cool people get arrested here as well. Prince got arrested, Elvis got arrested, and then Johnny Cash got arrested in Starkville. So I did 3 mugshot paintings that hang in the lobby of the Westin as well.
Yeah, come to Mississippi and get arrested. Yeah. We'll make you famous. No, just kidding. My guest today is William Goodman. William is a mixed media visual artist based in the Fondren area. And earlier you were talking about your studio. That's the Fondren Corner building.
It is.
And,
yeah.
And you've been up there a long time.
Long time. Why would I leave? I mean, it's rent controlled. It's right there in the center of the heart of the city, and Fondren has been really good to me, and it's been cool to be there since kind of the beginning and watch everything grow, and I've got a good little spot there.
And you grew up in Jackson?
I did, yeah. Grew up in Jackson, and I love this city.
Did you go to art school? What's your training in terms of your
I went to art school for a little while, and that really, I don't know, it didn't really work out great for me. So I came back here and had this wonderful opportunity to teach art at the Mustard Seed. So I was there for 3 years as an art instructor, and then decided to take a wild chance and see if I could do this thing, make a living at it. And very blessed that I've been able to do it now for many, many years, and so grateful that people supported me, and that, you know, I get to wake up every day and do what I love for a living. And I don't know, it's a trip. It's such a trip that I get to create for a living. I never dreamed in my wildest dreams that I'd be able to make a living at it. It's wild.
And so you had family. Your grandmother,
right? Yeah.
Was an artist, or is an artist?
Yeah, my grandmother Edwina Goodman. She was an amazing watercolorist, and she was an opera singer first, and then decided about midway through life that she'd give a stab at painting, and she was really, really good at it. And I remember being a young kid in her studio, probably about four or five years old, and she would just hand me paintbrushes and paint, and she would just tell me to go wild with it. And I remember drawing all these creatures, and I mean, I was always drawing in school, but really I remember being in her studio. My parents would just take me there on the weekends, and I would just have a blast. And
she had a studio in her home.
She did. Yeah. Okay. So I remember from a very early age being very creative. And of course that went throughout school. And, you know, I remember one of my early teachers, Bubba Watkins at St. Andrews, he really encouraged my style. And, you know, I had a lot of teachers over the years who really pushed me to do my own thing. They never tried to like control what I was doing, or they always encouraged my style, and I think that was very beneficial.
Well, great. We are talking today with William Goodman. He's a visual artist based in the Fondren area of Jackson, and he, you know, has had a studio there for a very long time, and we're visiting with him about his work.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome back to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Malcolm White. I'm your host today. I also have the privilege of serving as your director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. My guest in the studio today is William Goodman. William, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Malcolm. Thanks for having me.
William is a visual artist located in the Fondren neighborhood. And on break, we were talking a little bit about the Fondren phenomenon. And I was telling William that that I lived in that neighborhood in the mid-'80s. I think we bought our house in 1986, and it was just a cluster of people looking for a starter home, a first home that was affordable. Everybody referred to the area as Council Circle, not Fondren back then, and there were certainly no artists in the area. There was X-rated movies being shown at the theater, and there were no artists until you guys, your group of friends, came along. Tell us a little bit about how you and your group of arts friends sort of arrived in Fondren, and what ensued.
Well, it was such a fun, exciting, inspiring time. It was it was 2003, and Mike Peters had purchased the Fondren, what is known as the Fondren Corner building, the old Wildlife and Fisheries building.
That was one ugly building.
It was one ugly building. Yeah. And so he had purchased it. He was remodeling it. And I'd been living in Belhaven for a couple of years. And I had just left the Mustard Seed. No, actually, I was still at the Mustard Seed. And I'd heard about these lofts that were going to be in the neighborhood. And so I went and I talked to him. I think his office was still off County Line Road. Went and talked to him and said, I want to get one of these lofts. And so he said, okay. And he didn't really know quite what to think of me. He really didn't. And he said, okay, all right, I'll put you on the list. And so anyway, he made good with his promise, and he said I could have one of the first ones available. And so I think I was the first person to move in there when they finished the lofts, and they were still doing construction on the second and third floor of that building. So the first floor was going to be retail and two restaurants, and fourth and the fifth floor were going to be lofts. And so I moved into that building. Right around that time, I met Ginger Williams, who's an amazing visual artist. I met Jason Twiggy Lott, also another amazing visual artist. A guy named Jason Marlowe, another visual artist, filmmaker, and Josh Haley. And so we all, I'd known Josh throughout school. We'd both gone to St. Andrews together. But so all of us kind of just moved into the neighborhood together. I was the only one who had an apartment in the building, but we all pretty much just, shacked up at my apartment, and just started making all this art together, making all these like little films together, doing all these photo shoots. And Derek Emerson had recently bought Walker's Drive-In, and he hired myself and Ginger and Twiggy to paint a mural on the side of the building. This was in 2003, and on the little patio there. And I remember this was like my first, I guess, corporate, if you want to say that, job that I ever got. It was my first like corporate commission. And I think he paid us maybe like $2,000. And I was like, I'm rich. I was like, whoa. And
you're rich and you've arrived.
I think he paid us $2,000. And then he gave us like some food credit. And we thought we were so cool. We were like, we're going to eat at Walker's and we're painting this mural. And we were kids. It was such a fun time. And so from there, we all started doing all this fun stuff, and I got an art show in New York, and we all went up for my show in New York, and I think something like 30 people from Jackson came up and supported me, and that was such an amazing time, and I was so grateful for that. Just looking back on that whole time in my life, we each grew from that experience, and we've all gone on to have just wonderful careers, and but that time. And I was sober during that experience, and most of us were. All of us were sober. But I don't think people thought we were all just on crazy drugs. they did. But Elizabeth Robinson, the glass artist, she was around, and I don't want to say that we had a lot to do with bringing other artists and to Fondren or anything like that, but
you changed the vibe, and
there was definitely a vibe. I think that more people, I guess, like accepted Fondren to be kind of this fun, funky, community, and to see where the neighborhood has grown to today is really, really cool. But I'm so glad I had that experience and these friendships, and it was a special time. I can say that for all of us, and myself and Ginger, still work in the neighborhood today. And,
Josh is in New Orleans.
Josh is in New Orleans. Jason Marlowe's in New York, Hudson, New York, doing his thing. Twiggy still makes his art here in Jackson.
He's in Belhaven. Mm-hmm.
But we all collaborated. It was a time of like youth and rebellion and just really not caring what other people thought about us and doing our own thing. And it was like a little gang, a gang of creativity. And you know, expression, and it was amazing. It was amazing, Tom, and I can't believe it was that long ago. It was incredible.
So at that time, what was your style like? What kind of art were you making in the early 2000s when you sort of first moved in to the Fondren studio? And you're in the same studio.
I'm in the same studio. Well, at that point, I was creating most of the art out of my loft, out of my apartment there. Mm-hmm. But a few years later, I went to the landlord, and there was some open space up on the fifth floor. There were like three closets, and I went to him and I was like, look, I can't keep making all this art in my apartment. It's just, I gotta have separation between where I'm living and where I'm creating. And so we blew out a bunch of walls and we made me a studio upstairs. And so that was really cool. And then I started paying rent for my studio and all that. That happened a few years later. But my style back then, my style is much more refined now. Back then, I used to look at like the surface of a canvas, and I used to think I had to like fill up all of it. I didn't really understand composition the way that I do now. It was a lot of my style back then. I can look at it. It was very immature. It was very, it wasn't controlled like it is now. A lot of the paintings I made back then, I really don't like, but that's just where I was in my life then.
Sure.
A lot of the paintings I made, I do like. I mean, I'm not going to like everything that I create. I mean, but I think that, you know, it's just where I was in my life.
Who influenced you when you were becoming an artist growing up, experimenting? Who were your influences? What artists did you look to for inspiration?
I've had so many influences. I mean, Andy Warhol is one of my biggest influences. Definitely Robert Rauschenberg, Jean-Michel Basquiat, definitely. I guess
you enjoyed seeing the Basquiat piece at the Bicentennial at the Museum of Art.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I mean, his just rebellious style and just the way he would draw was just absolutely incredible. William Eggleston. I mean, I love the way that he saw the world through a camera lens. Jasper Johns. I mean, he was right there with Warhol, creating just some very revolutionary work. I love Pollock's style too. The mm-hmm. way that he would just, you know, a lot of people, you know, look at his work and are like, oh, I could do that. Yeah. I could just splatter some paint.
good luck.
You know, good luck. You know, good luck with that. You know, I mean, there's so many modern artists today that, you know, or, you know, street artists that I respect and I love what they do. And there's so many photographers too. I mean, I love Sally Mann's work. I mean, her work is just, it's phenomenal. And I look at it so haunting and just beautiful. Dunlap is a big influence on mine. Mm-hmm. Love Bill Dunlap. He's always been a huge support of mine, believed in me over the years.
I think you mentioned one time we were talking about Lynn Greenroot.
Yes,
who we lost, unfortunately, years ago. She was a great painter.
I used to go to her studio as a teenager, and she was always just very supportive of me. And I used to show her my early drawings, and she would just always say to me, just keep going, just keep drawing, just keep painting. I've had some really, you know, artists here in Mississippi over the years that have always just been very kind to me and very supportive and just told me to just keep doing my thing. And people have never told me, Malcolm, don't, you know, quit being an artist, do something different.
Go get a day job.
Right. You know, and I come from a family of, you know, attorneys, you know, and I can't imagine... doing anything differently. You know, people have asked me over the years, what would you do if you weren't an artist? I have no idea. I have no idea. This is all I know. I mean, it really is. And a lot of times I imagine like what I would do if I did have to go to an office and work a day job and I had a boss and they were telling me what to do every day. I'd go crazy. I really would. I'm very blessed.
Not for everybody.
So I'm really, I'm, you know, even some of the jobs that I work, the commissions that are high intensity and I have deadlines and things like that, I have to remind myself that I'm so blessed that I get to create every single day.
What percent of your current work is commissions versus just stuff you want to make and put it out there and try to sell it?
Well, there's always that balance, and I think we all struggle with balance in life. I think that anybody that says they don't struggle with balance is lying, because it's something that's can be very challenging. But today, I'd say about 75% of my work is commission work, and that's how I make a living.
It's a lot.
So I do get to work a lot of corporate jobs, and I've gotten to work for a lot of great companies over the years. You know, here locally, Bank Plus. I mean, I've gotten to do work for Coca-Cola in Atlanta. I've gotten to work for Estee Lauder in New York and Lululemon. But then I get to do a lot of, you know, commission work for individuals for their homes. You know, I get to create these special, unique paintings that tell stories for people about their lives, or I get to do abstract work for people, but then the other percentage of work that I create, like, that's for me, that I'm very passionate about, you know, the mixed media work that we were talking about earlier, that's what feeds my soul. That's mm-hmm. that's what I really love creating. And those are the images that I take with my camera when I'm driving through the Delta, the haunting, the visceral imagery that I'm always shooting. Those are the paintings that I have to make. And every year I create a certain batch of work that I make it, and it does sell. It may take a while for it to sell, but somebody's going to come along and feel a connection to it, and, mm-hmm. and hopefully they'll buy it, you know, but somewhere along the way, especially around 2009, when the economy crashed, I had to really get real and figure out, okay, what am I going to make that's going to continue to sell? And then now I have a family, and so I have to really be instead of working harder and all this kind of stuff, I have to work smart. So I have to be a businessman too.
Right. Well, it's an important part for all artists to know that you have to be able to market yourself. You have to understand pricing. You got to understand your market.
Right.
You may or may not need a gallery representation, but there's a business angle
Absolutely.
To creativity.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't just sell itself.
No.
People don't knock on your door, I wouldn't imagine, on a daily basis and say, William, can I come in there and buy your art?
Right. That does happen. But it's very rare.
Right.
You have to self-promote, and you have to do it in a way where you don't come across as like desperate,
right.
And you have to do it in a way where you have to be humble, and that can be challenging. And you never want to drive your clients crazy. You just have to be willing. You have to
right.
be willing to just. You know, a lot of times just accept the fact that, you know, it's not always going to just sell itself, that you mm-hmm. just have to put it out there and just leave it up to fate sometimes.
Yeah, little fate and a whole lot of business acumen, and
probably
works out well.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome back to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Malcolm White. I'm your host today here on Sunday afternoon. I hope that you're enjoying your Sunday. We're in the studio with William Goodman. Welcome back, William.
Thanks, Malcolm.
William is a mixed media visual artist, a painter, and I got to visit your studio recently.
That's
and
right.
You actually showed me how you create this stuff. And one of the things that was most intriguing to me was one of the processes that you were showing me is something that you kind of came up on your own. I've forgotten the name of it. What is where you reverse an image or something?
Right. Yeah. Image transferring.
The transferring.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that process just for our non-technical listeners.
Yeah. So there are a number of different ways that you can get images onto your surface, whether that being wood or canvas. But a lot of people just straight on collaging, where you can glue an image down with glue. But image transferring, a lot of people can transfer images with acetate. But I stumbled upon transferring images with this glue type stuff called gel medium years ago, about 20 years ago, when I was using this particular product to collage down an image. And I didn't really like where I'd put the image. So I was using some stuff out of an old magazine. And so I would glue down with the gel medium an image. And then I lifted it back up and I noticed that the ink from the piece that I'd glued down was lifting off where I'd glued it down. And so I was like, so this stuff is like transferring this ink. And so then I began experimenting with other types of papers and things. And then I got a color copy. It was either a color copy or a black and white copy. And I tried it, experimented with it to see if it would transfer that. And it did. And so then I began experimenting with other types of paper and things like that. And so today what I do is I use a particular type of an old school printer. It's an architectural printer that does like the dot pattern. Mm-hmm. And I reverse my images in Photoshop. And so when I press them down, they're the right side up. And so I use this glue gel medium. I put it on my surface, and then I put it on my image as well and press it down. And I get my studio manager, to help me lay down the image, especially when I'm doing like big transfers. And then you let it sit for, if it's a sunny day, put it outside for a couple hours. And what the gel medium does is it strips the ink from the print onto your surface, and then you put water on spray it onto the paper, and you remove the paper, and so the ink is stripped into the gel onto the surface.
It's a cool process. I got to watch y'all do it for a little while.
Yeah,
it's magic.
It is magic, and so it's transparent. So you see, like, say if you've got like a blue or a greenish wash underneath, and you transfer an image on top of it, you get to see all that color coming through. So you can do transfer on top of transfer, and
paint the board or the canvas first and then start putting these images on top of it and build. So, it seems like a lot of your work is building.
It begins
with a layer of paint, maybe another layer, some sort of manipulation of, and then on top of that you start piling these images on until you've created this piece.
And that's kind of one aspect of my work. And so I did that for years and years and years. And then I started, especially when I started doing a lot of these big kind of corporate projects, I started thinking, okay, well, a lot of these clients are going to want to see what these pieces are going to look like before I do them. And so I started using Photoshop to design out these pieces ahead of time so I could show the client, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you. Mm-hmm. And so then
you can literally create it on the computer.
Yes.
So people can look at it before you even start making it into an art piece.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so then about 5 or 6 years ago, once I would create it on the computer and show them what it's going to look like, then I was like, okay, well, and I've always hand painted stuff, you know, along with doing the transfer stuff. But then I began hand painting all of these pieces. So that's another element to not just transferring. So a lot of these bigger kind of jobs, I hand paint everything. Now that takes weeks and weeks and weeks to do, but it's how I can kind of like, you know, justify doing these big jobs because I hand paint all of them.
Wow.
So that's another kind of aspect to, you know, not just transferring.
So another thing you showed me when I visited your studio was a big project that you're envisioning for Fonder, and you've got this big idea for a mural there. And tell us a little bit about that and how. So I got to see it as a concept.
Right.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
You have to go get permission. You have to pick a wall, get permission, raise the money, get sponsor. I mean, it's this complicated process of getting a mural.
It is.
From concept to reality.
It is. So about a year ago, I came up with this idea, and I have this wall in mind, and I've gotten permission to do it. And so kind of the phase that I'm in right now is I'm about to begin fundraising for the project. And it's a great wall. It's right there when you're driving into the Strip of Fondren. And so the process I'm beginning right now is looking for sponsors, people who would want to get behind the project, and you know, right, I want to raise money to do the project. And it would be so great for the neighborhood, and it's all about community. It's all about what what is going on in Fondren, and it ties in the old and the new, and it's, you know, because, you know, Fondren's all about, you know, music and art and food. The culinary is so strong there, and in the community, and it kind of ties all that together. But it has this really, really great, like, retro feel to it as well, which I think when people come to Fondren, that's what they experience.
Yeah, and my understanding of the history of Fondren is that it was like North Jackson. It was like Madison back in the day. So there was the city, there was Belhaven Heights, Belhaven, and sort of where Baptist is to Millsaps.
Sure.
And then everything else was out in the country. And so out this long road, out State Street, was this little community known as Asylum Heights.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there was a mental institution out there. Where UMMC is today, and there was a grocery store owned by a local family known as the Fondren family, as I understood it.
Right.
And that was sort of the beginning of, and I think you're sort of incorporating that history in with sort of the current trends and stuff.
I tie all that in there, and I've got an image of the Fondren family in, like, sitting on these steps, him and his children, that'll be incorporated into the mural as well. So, I think it'll be a really, really cool piece for the neighborhood. And it's something that, you know, I mean, social media is so huge today, and I think it would be something really cool people would want to go take their picture next to, and just be a great piece driving right there on Dueling. You know, I think it'd be cool for the neighborhood. So,
what other projects are you working on? I mean, what are you doing right now? What sort of work are you working on?
Right now, I've been creating a lot of mixed media work. And one of my goals right now is to get my work in museums. I just got a piece accepted into the permanent collection of the Ogden Museum down in New Orleans, which I'm super excited about.
That's great.
And I've got a couple more museums that I'm talking to right now. So that's, you know, I'm kind of at a point in my career where museums are so important, and I love going to museums. Most people I know love going to, I mean, I love going to museums and looking at artwork, and I'm just at a point in my career where I feel that my work needs to be in museums. And so I've created a body of work this year that's kind of what I'm having in mind. And so I'm kind of stockpiling it in my studio and sending it to museums and, you know, just being hopeful that, you know, some of them will want it. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
And museums have like collection committees.
They do.
Look at pieces year in, year out, trying to decide what belongs in their permanent collection versus a traveling show, which is a totally different thing.
Right.
But you're interested in trying to get your pieces in permanent collections of museums across the Southeast. Is that sort of
That's kind of my goal. Right, yeah. And there's a great museum in Atlanta, the High Museum. There's the Mint Museum in North Carolina. I mean, of course, I've been part of the permanent collection, the Mississippi Museum of Art, for many years now. I'm very grateful for that. And my dream one day would be to have a museum show. I mean, I think that's any artist's dream.
Of course.
I've got other things in the works. I mean, I'm always working on commissions. I've got a couple of exciting ones coming up that I'll be getting started on soon.
You were telling me about a Faulkner piece that you recently painted for a private client.
I did. I just did a Faulkner piece for a client out in California. That was a fun project. And I've painted him before for the Fine and Dandy restaurant at the District. So I always enjoy painting Faulkner. He's such a character.
Yeah. If you can't get a good painting out of Faulkner, I don't know what to say about it.
Right. But, I mean, I've always got something fun going on.
Do you have a specific gallery representation, or do you work with multiple galleries, or how do you do that piece of it?
You know, I mean, from time to time, I've always, you know, worked with galleries for, you know, 15 years. You know, I was really, you know, strictly working with galleries. But the past couple of years, you know, I've kind of been doing my own thing, and it's been going really, really well. Not to say that I won't work with galleries again, but you know, I've really kind of been self-representing myself over the past couple of years, and it's been going really, really well. You know, I've got my website, and people contact me through my website or on social media. And I, you know, one thing that I really love, Malcolm, is working directly with a client. You know, that one-on-one experience, you know, they really get to know me. I get to know them, and I love having people to my studio. And I love going to a client's house, or I love going to see, you know, a concept. I love going to see a space while it's being designed out with an interior designer, or I love that experience of, you know, that one-on-one. And a lot of times when you're, you know, working with a gallery, you don't get to have that.
There's someone else interacting.
Right. Doing that so role. I've really enjoyed the past couple of years kind of doing my own thing. And not to say that I'm not going to work with galleries, but I really just kind of enjoy representing myself right now.
Why don't you share with us your social media profile, your website?
Okay.
I'm sure you're on Instagram. In fact, I know you are. Yeah. Or in other social media.
Well, my website is williamgoodmanart.com. And then my Instagram handle is williamgoodmanart. And my email is william@williamgoodmanart.com.
Okay. So people can go directly there.
Yeah.
See your stuff, follow you.
Absolutely.
See what's going on. Anything else that you're working on? I think you told me about a big project that recently you got approved from a client, a private client, and you were so worried that they'd sent you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photographs, and you weren't sure you were ever going to be able to get what they wanted, but they love what you sent them.
Yeah. This is a client in D.C., this big project, and they had mailed me like 100 images, and they wanted me to put together this piece for them, and when I say they had mailed me 100 photographs, they had sent me 100 photographs, but somehow pieced it all together and designed it out. And
luckily, and they loved it.
Luckily, they like it. So I'm about to start painting it.
Great. Well, William, it's great to have you on.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Continue good luck. William Goodman, visual artist based in the Fondren neighborhood. This is the Mississippi Arts Hour. We're on every Sunday at 5 on MPB Think Radio. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.